is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
And we are back, segment two of Davin's End. Thank you for hanging out with us live or in podcast form. I'm Davin, that's Joe, there's Pip the Bee. She identifies as a bee. I don't know how long she's going to be an insect, but we shall certainly respect how she identifies. I just gave a whole fucking speech. I should just respect people, so, you know. So she identifies as a bee, Joe identifies her as a dingbat. Either way, she's a winged creature. So we shall move on. Let's do some. Don't know what she's doing. We're just happy. Happy that her lady parts have stayed inside her. That's what we're happy about.
There's been no prolapse this evening. Good. Thank you. Ugh. Thank you.
All right, so enough. Stop talking, please. Stop talking. All right, we're going to do School of Fools. That's what we're going to do.
Comment on one of Miss April's recent videos about PBIS, in which I stated that PBIS is white supremacy with the hug, and a lot of y'all wanted to know more about that, so here we go. First of all, thank you to Jack Copa, who reminded me that Dina Simmons was the first to coin this term, so thank you, Jack, so much. So if PBIS concerns itself with positive behaviors, we have to ask ourselves, okay, well, what are those positive behaviors? And it's things like making sure that you're following directions and making sure that you're sitting quietly and you are in your seat and all these things that come from white culture. The idea of just sitting quiet and being told stuff and taking things in a passive stance is not a thing that's in with many cultures. So if we're positively enforcing these behaviors, we are by extension positively enforcing elements of white culture, which therefore keeps whiteness at the center, which is the definition of white supremacy.
All right, so there's the teacher who basically says when you tell kids to behave, it's white supremacy. He calls it white supremacy with a hug. I will go on the record right now saying if I have to have white supremacy, if it's on the table and I can't avoid it, the hugged variety is the type I would like. I would like, you know, Jews will not replace us, but first a hug. You know, it's nice. No?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Let him teach up in the South Bronx for a day. He'll change his mind.
Yeah, well. All right. So basically, he says, positive behavioral interventions and supports is a concept used in Virginia public schools to support, quote, positive academic and behavioral outcomes for all students. The person in the video appears to be Josh Thompson, an English teacher at Blacksburg High School, according to Fox News. A teacher is entitled to their personal beliefs regarding any division program. The statements made by this teacher do not reflect our PBI's program or the behavioral expectations that we have of students in our school, the Montgomery County School District told the news outlet. MCPS has used PBIS in our schools for 8 years. We are proud of our PBIS work. This work helps create a standard for social emotional learning and behavior expectations in the school building the district added. All right, okay. First of all, I don't know what he's talking about where we don't find it culturally. I can only go by stuff that I have seen. I don't know every culture, but if you go to if you see Asian classrooms, if you see African classrooms, now yes, white people have been there. That's pretty much the same model of a teacher in the front and the students listening. I mean, in civilized society, that has been determined that is the best, is the easiest, is the most effective. It's pretty much the way that we have deemed, and by we I mean the world, has deemed to educate our youth in whatever we want to educate them in. Now, yes, some classes are more hands-on than other, like, you know, woodshop, mechanic. But still, at some point, the students are sitting and listening and taking notes, and the teacher is teaching.
And there is control, even in a woodshop.
Yes. You know, it doesn't.
The teacher walks around, sees what you're doing. You know?
The alternative to what he is saying is when the substitute teacher shows up, when all the kids are running around and throwing shit, and nobody's listening. I will say this: I think it is racist to imply that people that are not white are being harmed by listening and taking notes and behaving like somehow we're against them because we're asking them to respect the lecturer. It's like, what, black people can't do that? Yellow people can't do that? Brown people can't sit? Go to Mexico in the classrooms. It's the same thing. They're not running around all over the place and the teacher ducking and covering. No, it's a teacher in front of a chalkboard, in front of a PowerPoint presentation, whatever it is, and students are copiously taking notes, and they have a question, they may raise their hand. Now, there are exceptions to that. There are certainly PI programs, which my daughter went to, and what's the other one? Another way of learning. They have their own charter schools. Whatever. There's alternative ways to learn.
I don't know. I've been out of the game
for a long
time.
But even still, there was a level of control in that class.
Yes.
Where, you know, if you're being disruptive, it ruins it for everybody. This is not a case of white supremacy. This is a case of a social norm, regardless of what creed, color you are.
Well, what he's saying is that this social norm is deemed from white culture and is white supremacy. And what I would say, and I'm guessing you would agree, is no, all cultures have just kind of determined, or most cultures have kind of determined, that this is just the best way to fucking do it at this point. It's just the most effective way, the best way to utilize the time. I don't...
It's not really, but this is what we do in classrooms.
Well, I mean, listen, if you got 30 kids, 20 kids, you can't all have them shouting at once.
No, classroom management is really difficult.
Yeah.
It's a skill. But it's not the only and the most effective teaching strategy, but that's not what I don't want to go off into the different types of teaching strategies. The thing is that when you're saying words like the social norm, you said a phrase that was also people who are minorities are seeing that as coded for the social norm for white people.
Yes, but as I also pointed out, if you look at classrooms in Asia, Africa, you know, the Latin American countries, they're all doing the same fucking thing, and it's not because Whitey is making them.
No, I understand that. I'm not trying to take a side. I think that he has, like...
Well, I'm taking a side. This guy's fucking crazy. This guy's fucking... I mean, enough! This is the type
Devin
of liberal shit...
Kill Curry tonight.
No!
Yeah.
No, it's like, I know it doesn't work to your fucking narrative, but I'm common sense. This is the type of liberal horse shit that drives moderates and conservatives fucking crazy. Now, okay, if you want to tell me there might be some cultural bias in some of the lesson plans, I'm willing to listen to that. You have me. Educate me. But when I can fucking see a classroom in Africa or a classroom in South America and it's the same teacher and there's nobody who's white and they're teaching the same, essentially the same type of way, you can't tell me it's white supremacy.
Well, the whole thing about bringing it's not the same thing in other cultures. Duh. No.
Well, that was an effective argument. Duh to you, sir. Duh indeed.
Duh is taken and noted.
Duh.
And I will further add, adoy.
Badoy. Duh.
Buzz to you, Miss B.
No, the thing is that, I mean, there are other ways. This is the approach where the teacher is just talking at the students and they're supposed to absorb. My friend's dad had a good phrase, and I love this. He meant it about church, but I think it works in schools. The brain can only absorb as much as the butt can stand.
Fair enough. Good phrase.
And sitting still, children just sitting still for long periods of time, that is a bad model.
But we're not, yes, but anyway. He's not talking about that.
But I know. I think he's trying to make the fact that little kids, and even on up, are squirmy little beasts, and they need a release from this dialectical, you know.
But you know what, Pip? That doesn't make this guy a TikTok sensation where Anthony Cumia can find him. Right. Adding fucking race makes him
race to it doesn't make sense.
It makes that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about teaching methods per se. We're talking about, is this white supremacy? No, this is not white supremacy. This is
I don't think so. When I was in school, through college, I've had teachers that were boring. I had teachers that were progressive. I had coach teach in class and stuff like that. But in every instance of that, there was a decorum that, you know, obviously you have back and forth to go, but there, you need, you know, you be respectful and you, you know, you sit there and you be respectful and listen to the lesson, you know, and that's just that's a social norm.
It's yeah, he's pretty much saying that children of color, people of color, cannot sit and listen. That's what he's being the racist douche here. Like, I hate these motherfuckers that make me have to make the conservative argument. I fucking hate that shit.
I know. I mean, I would think that if he had any kind of point, it would have been more constructive for him to bring examples of, well, what is this culture, this other culture you speak of, and how do they teach, and how could, if that's effective, how could that be incorporated into the classroom? But don't say it's because old Mr. Whitey made them do so. This is how people are teaching all over the world. It's not the most effective way all the time, but... I agree. It's dumb to bring race into it.
All right, so this guy's a moron. We all agree. Another fucking case of bad liberals. All right. Fucking stupid. Hey, I can go on Anthony's show. I'm becoming conservative enough. I can kiss the asses of his audience.
We'll be in the car
this Saturday night. Talk to Ant. I'm kissing the right ass this time. I'm finally stepping in line. Oh, wait, no. I still think Trump's a fucking idiot. Never mind. We'll move on. I was this close, Joe.
That was brief.
All right. So this is Pip's blog. I will set it up for you guys. This is about vaccination and organ transplants. So a Colorado hospital system says it is denying organ transplants to patients who haven't been vaccinated against COVID-19 in almost all situations under a new policy. UC Health, which operates hospitals and urgent care facilities throughout the state, confirmed to the Post on Wednesday that organ transplant recipients and living donors must now be vaccinated against COVID-19 before undergoing procedures. The health system said the driving force behind the policy was studies showing transplant patients are more likely to die if they contract COVID-19. The mortality rate for transplant patients who get COVID is more than 20%, according to UC Health. This is why it is essential that both the recipient and the living donor be vaccinated and take other precautions prior to undergoing transplant surgery. They said in a statement, surgeries may be postponed until patients take all required precautions in order to give them the best chance at positive outcomes. It wasn't immediately clear when the new policy was put in place or what situations did not warrant a COVID vaccine. UC Health confirmed the policy change after Republican Colorado State Representative Tim Geithner on Tuesday tweeted out a letter that Colorado Springs woman Leilani Lutali received last month saying her waiting list status for her kidney transplant had been changed to inactive because she hadn't been vaccinated. In an interview with CBS Denver, Lutali said her donor, Jamie Foner, whom she met in Bible study 10 months ago, also hadn't been vaccinated. Lutali, who has stage 5 renal failure, said she was informed of the new policy in a September 28th letter after initially being told in August she didn't need to have the vaccine to get her new kidney. She said she doesn't want to get the vaccine because there are too many unknowns, unlike a new fucking kidney where we know everything about. Stop it. Stop it. Anyway, I said I'll sign a medical waiver. I have to sign a waiver anyway for the transplant itself, releasing them of anything that could possibly go wrong, Lutali said. You're missing the point, my dear. It's surgery. It's invasive. I sign a waiver for my life. I'm not sure why I can't sign a waiver for the COVID shot, because they're not offering it. Did I answer your question? Anyway, Fauna, who said she hasn't received the shot for religious reasons, added, it's your choice on what treatment you have. In Leilani's case, the choice has been taken from her. Her life has now been held hostage because of this mandate. No, that's not true. She still has a choice. The pair are looking for another hospital to carry out the transplant, which they can probably find. UC Health doubled down on its new policy, saying the transplant centers across the country already have COVID vaccine mandates in place, and others are introducing it now. An organ transplant is a unique surgery that leads to a lifetime of specialized management to ensure an organ is not rejected, like me in high school, which can lead to serious complications. The need for a subsequent transplant surgery or even death, UC Health said in a statement. Before I lost weight. I was a fatty organ. Physicians must consider the short and long-term health risks for patients. Jonas is
a lunch table with the other organs.
Yes, I was the non-transplantable type.
The rejected donor organs.
Oh, by the way, Simpsons actually a segue. Did you watch The Simpsons this week?
No.
Did you watch The Simpsons? All right, so they did the Halloween Horror. It's very rare the Simpsons actually have a very funny joke these days, but I still watch it religiously because that's my religion, apparently. So in this scenario, the trees have come to life. The trees are marching on Springfield. They've come to life. There is Seymour from Little Shop of Horror and Scamming Scammers fame. And he's going, feed me, Seymour, feed me, Seymour. And the tree goes, you're not a tree, you're a plant. And he goes, but I identify as a tree. I'm a transplant. And I thought that was hilarious. Okay.
You gotta give that one, yeah.
I like that. I'm a
transplant. It's very rare that The Simpsons has a laugh out loud moment, but that one was good. That's all right, good. We move on to seriousness now. Okay. You, that's fucking a great joke. It should be. They've been on for 32 years. Once in a while, they'll crank one out. Physicians must consider the short and long-term health risk for patients as they consider whether to recommend an organ transplant. UC Health said there are specific requirements in place prior to transplants taking place. In some instances, patients are required to have other vaccinations, such as hepatitis B, or may be required to avoid alcohol, smoking, or prove they can continue to taking anti-rejection medications. These requirements increase the likelihood that a transplant will be successful and the patient will avoid rejection. In almost all situations, transplant recipients and living donors at UC Health are now required to be vaccinated against COVID-19 in addition to meeting other health requirements and receiving additional vaccinations. And I will let Pip take it from here.
Well, there's a lot to unpack from this particular article. But some of the major points for me, first of all, I think it's terrible that you have people that are on waiting lists for organ donors and that they have
More people would just die so we could give the ill their organs. That's so inconsiderate of living beings wanting to continue to stay that way.
First of all, sign the back of your driver's license.
Done.
And say
have
that you?
You
are, yes.
Joe, are you an organ donor?
No.
That's not surprising.
Say that you're an organ donor because you might think you're a piece of crap, but you might have something that somebody else could use if you should like kick the bucket early.
Trust me.
You won't feel
it. Once they realize how full of shit you are, they'll stop. But I am a little wigged out by my I've donated my eyes. I wish I hadn't done that. But anyway.
Oh no, I would like somebody to have to deal with this bullshit.
People eye transplant where people are like, what the fuck? I saw better before.
Yeah, it's like wait a minute. Wait, I have to take off my glasses to read small things, and I put my glasses on to drive? What kind of crazy crap is this?
All right,
yeah.
Go on.
Anyway, so, I'm spiteful donating.
it's a hate donation.
how do you like this fatty liver, huh? Huh?
Yeah, take my pacemaker. Hope you have better luck with it.
Yeah.
And have a hemorrhoid to boot.
Yeah. And I hope that they have to replace the batteries the day after you get it. Ha! Huh? No, sorry.
Would you like a fissure, sir? Anyway, go on.
They donate those? Anyway, the thing is that there are a lot of people that are on the list for these things, and it's a terrible situation for the person, the family. Not going to make light of any of that. It's awful. And because these people are on these lists, that just shows how precious each organ donated is, because people have to wait in sometimes pretty desperate situations waiting for these. Now, there have always been rules that say that if you're not a good candidate, you're not getting this. So you're not going to give lungs to a smoker, especially if they're going to continue to smoke. And there's a good chance that they're going to continue to do that after surgery. No, why would you waste that precious gift on somebody who's not going to take care of it? You're not going to give a liver to somebody who's going to continue to drink, you know, to excess.
There goes Joe's chances.
Yeah, sorry. Not getting it. Fatty as it is, it still works, but you can't have it. Of all these things, people have to be willing to follow the protocols, take care of the thing that they've been given. And one of the things that we've learned from people who have died of COVID is that people have been wrecked. Their organs are just run through the wringer. And it's not uniform. You don't know which bodily systems are going to be attacked or how badly. But the thing is that this is what this virus does. Now, somebody who's not willing to take the precaution of getting a vaccine to protect these organs that you're about to be given, that's just crazy talk to me. Now, the point that this person is making, saying that it's on a religious grounds that they won't get a vaccine. So you can't get a vaccine, but you're willing to take somebody else's organ and then all of the drugs that you have to take to make sure it's not rejected afterwards. Uh-huh. Show me the passage, bitch. Not buying it. not.
Well, United, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. United Airlines, when they were dealing with their thing, they didn't take the religious exclusion because none of the, as we learned, none of the major religions have said you can't have the vaccine. So it's bullshit. It's fakakta.
It's bullshit. It's just an excuse. And it's like, so you're not sure what the long-term repercussions of the vaccine might be, but you have stage 5 cancer. And
no, it's not cancer. It's renal failure. Cancer only goes to 4.
Oh, sorry.
Joe's amp goes to 11.
I know. And so did the wedding band did, too.
Yeah, the wedding band went to 15.
But
the only thing that I see as a conundrum here is, and basically on the religious, she doesn't want to get it on religious grounds, mm-hmm. is debatable. Now, the only thing is that she has the stage 5 renal failure. And you can go, well, you know, you're worried about the vaccine. You got stage 5 renal failure. However, the vaccine sometimes can really put people out. I mean, knock them on their ass. With her in that condition, it may kill her. So, you know, that might be her concern on that, where her system is so far down.
Well, she's going to die anyway, Joe.
An adverse reaction to the vaccine, it could kill her.
She's going to die anyway. She's gonna. Here's my only nit to pick.
Okay.
My only nit to pick is they made her inactive. Now let's say there's a bunch of kidneys. Let's say I don't know what the situation. You're right. In most cases, it's very hard to get organs. Let's say in this case, in this area, there are extra organs. I wouldn't make the person inactive. I would put them in the back of the line.
Yeah.
So they could still get it. Because you know what? If there's one available, because they only keep for a certain time. You know, it's like chicken in the fridge. You can only keep it for so time, then it gets slimy and it goes bad and it's a little foul. So I wouldn't make her inactive.
A little foul.
Oh, wow. I didn't even. Wow, oh. I'm very punny. Okay. But. All right, relax there, Bumble.
That hurt.
Relax.
Sting! Sting! Sting!
I'm allergic. Anyway, so that's the only thing. That's the only thing. But yeah, I mean, she can't, to Joe's point, she can't tell me she's worried about her health. She's going to die anyway. To Pip's point with the religion, no major religion has said you can't get it, and she's putting in all sorts of things into her body anyway. It's a bunch of bullshit. And this isn't brand new, apparently. You apparently have to take other vaccines to get organs. If you want to, it makes me question, how much do you want to live? Because somebody gave the ultimate, we talk about the ultimate sacrifice, this is the ultimate sacrifice. Somebody died, and their family and them made the decision to give you a second chance at life.
Right.
And if you're not going to do everything in your power to appreciate that and to nurture it and live your best life, then maybe you don't deserve it. That would be my only thing.
But, you know, like I said, it's a choice thing. Now, going with the choice thing, you look at it as we discussed it. If I get the vaccine and my condition, I could die. If I don't get the kidney, I'm going to die. So you got to make it, you know, you're at a life deciding decision here. You know, these are the things, you know, I mean, if
well,
you
Joe,
that, you know, being against it,
Joe,
you most likely will die.
She decided with these hard decisions that the best thing she could do in her case is to go on Fox News and talk to Laura Ingraham. That's what she...
That's the best use of her remaining time.
That is the best use of her time, is to go on fucking Fox News and go to other media platforms. Just fucking go get transplanted someplace else where there's not this policy, and then talk about it. Have the discussion. But you're not a fucking victim. As Joe has said, you have a choice. We all have choices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, if she's doing it, you know, she's doing it, I'm doing this on religious grounds. Well, let me tell you something, lady. You're about a month away from having coffee with Jesus to discuss it. I mean,
yeah.
You got to
come back and tell us what Jesus has to say.
Yeah. You know, I think Jesus would have said, I would have got the shot. What do I know? I'm just the son of God.
No, Jesus would have said, yeah, it's not so bad. I had a whole bunch of them in my hands and everything. It's fucking fine. It's a little prick. It's not like they're asking you to hang out there for a while. You get it, you go home.
And it's like, I sent you the vaccine, and you wouldn't take it. How much sympathy do you think I have for you
now?
I mean,
seriously, these fucking people. That's why I can't with the whole political thing. I mean, the best statement of all, it was developed under a Republican presidency. It was widely distributed under a Democratic presidency. If anything should be fucking bipartisan, it should be this fucking vaccine. But people, I mean, Lindsey Graham, like, said, I suggest you get vaccinated, and they fucking booed him. Now, listen, I support booing Lindsey Graham, but not for telling you to get a vaccine.
Yes.
Anthony Cumia brought up a very good point. He brought it up yesterday and today, that with every drug out there, they spend time going over every side effect. This drug, it should be fine. Yeah, so it seems interesting, you know?
Yeah, listen, no, I know. But Joe, you know what? But, you know, that was interesting. In the beginning, I get that. And I was, you know, hesitant to a degree. But, like, millions, hundreds of millions of people have gotten the fucking vaccine. I mean, it's possible that, you know, Bill Gates is going to flip the switch and we're all going to turn into zombies. But so far, so good. You're not the first one at this point. We've seen how this has played out. You could get it now.
Yeah, but it's also, if you're talking about diseases that have always been, and, you know, they have time to try to study and look and see for a cure, this was a disease that was killing hundreds of thousands of people and so many more people, highly contagious, and it was making other people drastically sick, millions of people, and really quickly. You didn't have time for this bullshit.
Well, they've been working on it for 10 years.
Yeah, they have been working on it for many, many years.
Now, to Anthony's point, and I'm working on this for the act. I haven't done it on stage. I like all these people who want to be cautious all the time. These are the same people that put their private parts in the filthiest, uncleanest skank, whether it be male or female. They knew it was a hose bag. They didn't give a shit. They're like, hey, there's a good chance I'm going to get a disease, but I want to fucking do it anyway. So now they're cautious? Stop it. You're a whore. You've always been a whore.
They're sober now. They didn't have about 4 shots of Jack Daniels and about 12 beers.
No. Enough people made horrible sexual decisions sober. I'm one of them.
So am I. Matter of fact, I think it was segment 1 on our CD.
Horrible decisions under the influence of the demon alcohol. Everybody has.
I'm just saying, I can't.
I can tell you that night, I was fucking trashed.
All right. Let's move on. So basically, this woman's going to fucking die. And she was lucky enough to get a second chance at life, and she made the decision.
She's got TV credits now.
What?
She's got TV credits.
There you go, more than us. Oh, all right, let's move on. The government is searching your searches. This was a disturbing thing.
Yeah.
And really, since the fucking Patriot Act, which was under W. Bush and then expanded under Obama, and I'm sure fucking Trump expanded, I'm sure Biden will expand, because they sure loves them some fucking power.
They
anyway,
sure do.
All right. The U.S. I don't know if this is under the Patriot Act, but it smells like Patriot Act-ish.
Yeah, it does.
The U.S. federal government is secretly ordering Google and other search engines to track and provide data on anyone who searches certain terms through keyword warrants, according to a new report. By the way, the worst fucking CSI ever. Keyword CSI keyword warrants. Ugh. Just a bunch of fucking nerds going over a bunch of spreadsheets.
Your algorithms.
All right. You're trying to talk tough in the holding cell? What do you want? A keyword warrant. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, it won't be iced tea. It'll be fucking Ski-Lo. In recent years, only two such warrants have been made public, but accidentally unsealed court documents obtained by Forbes show the government has been making these requests far more frequently. The unsealed warrants stem from a 2019 federal investigation in Wisconsin, where investigators were searching for men they believed had taken part in trafficking and sexually abusing a minor. Matt Gaetz, we're looking at you. In an effort to track them down, officials ordered Google to provide any information on users, including account names, IP addresses, cookie IDs that search the victim's name, two spellings of her mother's name, and her address over 16 days throughout the year. Google provided the data in mid-2020, Forbes reported, though the document did not say how many people had their information sent to federal investigators. The warrant was supposed to be secret, and the Justice Department only became aware of the leak after the outlet reached out for a comment. The investigation is still ongoing, and the warrant has since been sealed. Only two keyword warrants were made public before the Wisconsin case. One from 2017 shows a Minnesota judge signed off on an order asking Google to provide data on any user within the city of Edina who searched a fraud victim's name. The second revealed in 2020 requested information on anyone who searched for the address of an arson victim who was also a witness in the government's racketeering case against R. Kelly.
Oh, wow.
Forbes identified a third unreported warrant filed in the Northern District of California in December of last year. The warrant is currently under seal and has only publicly been noted in a court docket. The information requested could be extremely broad, as the warrant is titled Application by the United States for a Search Warrant for Google Accounts Associated with Six Search Terms and Four Search Dates. Following the initial report, three more keyword warrants came to light that were used in the investigation in the 2018 Austin bombings. The warrants appear to be very broad, ordering Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo search engines to provide information on users who search various addresses in terms related to bombs, including low explosive and pipe bombs. It is unclear how much data the search engines can provide investigators. The broad orders have been criticized by privacy experts as they raise fears that innocent users could get caught up in criminal investigation, with one expert claiming the warrants threaten the First Amendment. Trolling through Google's search history database enables police to identify people merely based on what they might have been thinking about for whatever reason at some point in the past. This is a virtual dragnet through the public's interests, beliefs, opinions, values, and friendships akin to mind reading powered by Google Time Machine. Jennifer Granick, a surveillance and cybersecurity counsel at the American Civil Liberties Union. This never before possible technique threatens First Amendment interests and will inevitably sweep up innocent people, especially if the keyword terms are not unique and the time frame not precise. To make matters worse, police are currently doing this in secret, which insulates the practice from public debate and regulation. Google has defended handing over the information, saying, as with all law enforcement requests, we have a rigorous process that is designed to protect the privacy of our users while supporting the important work of law enforcement. I did not know this was happening.
I didn't either.
I kind of assume.
Yeah.
That, like, I kind of assume if you put something in a search engine, somebody's looking at it somewhere. But it does seem awfully broad. It does seem like it's too much.
Broad. When you first start reading the article, you're like, well, they're trying to, you know, looking on these nefarious people. So basically, the key thing here is very broad. Okay. Now, give me an example. Okay. Let's say we're having our old favorite argument over Antifa, over the people, over Antifa or the Proud Boys and stuff like that.
That's my favorite.
Well, you know what, Davin? They've used pipe bombs. All right, Joe, give us the information. And I go to search pipe bombs to find out who's been using pipe bombs. The FBI sees that as a fucking knock at my door.
Right. Joe, that's what I've been hoping for. That's what I've been hoping for. You haven't gotten the knock yet. I find very disappointing.
Give me that information, please.
haven't you noticed some of the show prep leads us to search things?
No research, get the fucking knock at your door.
Yeah. Some of the show research prompts us to look up things that are going to get us in jail someday.
That is my goal. It's just too much. It's too broad. I think if they really narrow it down, like a lot of these
agreed, things. Agreed, but at this juncture, this is very intrusive, and innocent people could be visited.
And the fact of the matter is, they didn't want us to know about it.
That's even creepier.
Which, you know, again, I know people like to fucking rail against the press and the media, but this is why we need them.
Yes.
To do shit like this. I'm glad Forbes invested in their investigative reporting, or somebody sent a reporter an email. But either way, I'm glad they did it, because we need to know about this. Now, is it going to change our behaviors? Probably not. It's because, you know what, it's just convenient to look up pipe bombs.
Well, thank God for the Justice Department, which called them and said, what the fuck are you doing here? Yeah.
I don't know if the Justice Department's going to make them narrow this down. You know, like I said at the top, power likes power.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, once we give them power, and there's your libertarianism for you. But once we give them power, they're not going to relinquish it.
No.
I mean, you know, I've said this time and time again. You know, with stuff that the Republicans are doing, I said, what do you think is going to happen when the Democrats get in power? Same thing with shit the Democrats are doing. What do you think is going to happen when the Republicans get in power? They're all going to use it for their own fucking good.
Yeah,
so like I said, what the concern is, if you're an innocent, but like I said, we go over all sorts of topics, and on our show, if you're going to say something, you got to have backup or provide statistics or something to go point counterpoint on. And you go searching for this thing, and if it's on a certain topic, you know, now you're being looked at, you know, and you got to explain. I do a show, I got, you know, and who needs that shit?
You know, how many times is DuckDuckGo going to hand over my search for flaccid Puerto Rican dick pics? It's enough! It's enough! We all have our interests. It doesn't make me a bad person. I don't want to be in a lineup.
Please, I'm on some list for, you know, watching gay porn so I can get just the right soundbite for one of our games.
As well you should be.
Yeah,
exactly. As silly as that sounds, yeah, you go on that, you're looking for a certain soundbite, you know, knock, 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 and it's like I was just doing a stinger for our show.
Well, here's how it goes. Like, it's a, like this, a Jace? I was definitely on some type of watch list for flying after I went to Iraq, because I was always getting pulled out. And I went to Iraq for our troops, and I flew into Kuwait. But they say, what the fuck is this American? And this is in 09. The fuck is this American going over there? I was constantly getting pulled out, going through my shit, going question for a couple of years. Jeez. So they're always watching. I'm not one of these paranoid people.
No.
But when you hear shit like this, it's like, you know what? It's too much. Now, the other side of that is, well, you know, if we could stop a bombing or this, that, the other thing. Yeah, but you got to be narrow. It can't just be a couple of search terms in a fucking town.
Yeah, agreed. Wow, boy, this is good. This is a smooth show. Absolutely agreed.
Yeah, no, if you're looking up stop the bombing and, you know, you get pulled over, you just have to say, I'm a comedian. I would like to stop the bombing.
Then they'll ask for a joke, and they will say, well, you've clearly failed to stop the bombing.
I don't care what you were looking that up for.
Now, we are now bringing you in for assaulting the police with that joke. Anyway, so we all agree.
The post. That was on the cover of the Post for terrorists. Yeah. Well,
it won't be written well, but it might have a pithy opening line. All right, so, yeah, I mean, we all agree. I mean, this is common sense shit. Now, listen, the ultimate police person might think that this is a damn good thing. We're just not those people. All right, I got some scans for you, some new scans. All right, that's too much. I couldn't find the short version, so I'll talk over. All right, so we talked about Forex. What was her name? Caroline.
Right.
Well, Joe, it was brought to my attention a popular Fox News contributor is selling Forex.
No.
Well, yeah, they use Brit Hume. they're like posing as Brit Hume, who's a Fox News contributor, political contributor, as like endorsing Forex. So this. No, I'm not kidding you. Because when you think investments, you think. When you think new type of technology, new type of money, you think Brit Hume.
Absolutely.
So this is the one that is going around with him. It's Brit Hume. Forex scam posing as let's see, where is it? This one is posing as someone. All right. So yeah, they're just posing as him, like trying to get you to invest in some Forex or some cryptocurrency type shit. But it's interesting, like to pose as like. Because like old people are watching Fox News.
Sure.
Young people aren't watching Fox News. They're going to Newsmax, the real news. No. No, but I don't think they're going to invest. And people who watch Fox News are kind of conservative anyway. So, but I guess they're going. So on the one hand, that goes, well, this seems kind of stupid. But on the other hand, maybe it's pretty smart by the scammers. And no disrespect to our Fox News listening friends, but maybe they think these fuckers will believe anything. I mean, I don't know where to go with it. I don't know if this is really stupid by the scammers or really fucking smart by the scammers. I'm kind of torn.
I don't think that older people are ready to go invest in cryptocurrency that they don't understand.
Brit Hume says it's okay.
I know. I'm not buying him. Believing him, I don't believe.
Well, in
Caroline.
Defense of the scammer, if you watch Fox News. You'll see that they always have these like invest in gold things.
Yes, they
so
do.
So
that's true.
It is kind of going along those lines. So this might actually be a pretty good move by scammer, because we've seen them. They go for the hot. They pose as the hot chick, which we understand. Invest with your cock. We understand. We understand that. But now they're going with the trust. It's like the Tom Selleck commercial where he's doing the reverse mortgage. Like if you can't trust good old Tom Selleck sitting on a path by a bench, seemingly talking to you in the TV, who can you trust? I mean that mustache still looks good. He was in Blue Bloods, for God's sakes. Blue Bloods. He was Magnum P.I.
Yeah, doesn't care if you lose your house.
Your Ferrari come pulling up. All right, out.
No. They would understand. They would believe. You know, I almost said Tom Hanks. They would believe Tom Selleck because they remember him. That, you know, he comes off as a trustable, likable celebrity. They understand gold bricks. They understand collectible coins. But cryptocurrency, I mean, maybe that's what they're trying to do, but I find it hard to believe that that's going to be a big sell. What do you think, Joe?
Because basically older people... You know, if it's an older audience, they might have picked Brett Hume, even though he's on the platform, he's not as marquee as a Tucker Carlson or as a Hannity or something like that. So they figure he's just far enough back where people, you know him, but don't, you know, he's not that out there. But if it's going to be for cryptocurrency, you know, old people don't buy that. So it's a very interesting tact that they're taking here.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty smart move by the scammer. I mean, if you're going to go trying to scam people, posing as Brett Hume, I can't imagine any other scenario where you'd want to pose as Brett Hume. But I guess in this one. So that's kind of interesting.
But you want to know something? With the cryptocurrency, it's like, well, if Brett Hume is getting it, you know, he's a conservative guy. Maybe I should invest in this.
Yeah, I don't think it's a terrible strategy. So another comic sent this to me. He brought this to my attention. And I said, well, Brett Hume has always been concerned about your well-being, so I would go with it. All right. Now, this one is actually targeting comedians. Joe might have gotten hit with this one, too. I got it on Instagram. Pip is putting on her green cape now.
Yeah, why does Pip decide she needs to be Kermit the Frog now? What are you, skin a freaking big frog?
Cryptocurrency frightens me, so I had to go into my safe place.
Pip is going as a green screen for Halloween. All right. So this showed up in my Instagram from somebody. So he goes to me, hey, do you do private comedy gigs? You know, anytime you get something on Instagram, you should always be suspicious.
Sure.
But I don't know this is horseshit yet.
Right.
But, you know, let's see how it plays out. I go, yes. He goes, I was hoping you could do a comedy video for my wife. Our anniversary is coming, willing to pay $300. All right. Again, I don't know if this is horseshit or not. Joe, did you get this?
Yeah, I did not get it. However, I saw some of the guys posting it upon me.
Well, apparently, Joe, your comedy's not good enough for scams. I don't know what to tell you.
I'll take that hit.
apparently,
shifted sale that I don't mind waving goodbye to.
apparently, your real comedy isn't good enough for fake gigs. What do you want me to tell you? So he goes, I was hoping you could do a comedy video for my wife. Our anniversary is coming, willing to pay $300. All right, let's see what's involved.
Okay.
It's not an outlandish amount. He goes, all right, this might be just enough. It's not like $10,000. Go, what type of horseshit is that? $300,
yeah,
go,
right.
just this is possible.
I'm going to end up in a bathtub full of blood and no kidney. That's what's going to happen.
Well, you're not getting
it. But if you did a solid 20, who cares?
I want to donate my kidney.
Now we know your priorities.
Sure.
Yeah.
I go, when is your anniversary? I go, are you asking for a live or Zoom show? You know.
Right.
For a live Zoom show. She goes, he goes, if you can tell some jokes, maybe roast a few celebrities, then just tell her I love her. That should be good. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wants me to roast celebrities. All right. Again, this is
right,
weird.
That's 20 minutes. That's a quick 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, you can just pick random popular celebrities. 5 to 10 minutes should be perfect. Her name is Martha, while I'm Gilmore. All right, again. This is weird, but it's not. I'm still entertaining this.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this is odd, but nothing obviously amiss yet.
I go, okay, so you want 5 to 10 minutes of pop culture jokes. Are there any particular celebrities you have in mind? This is what I would ask a client.
Sure.
I have some already, but if there's somebody in particular, I can write some jokes about them. Do you want this like on a private Zoom show for you and your wife, or do you want me to record something for you to put it on a private link on YouTube, which would just be for you and the people you want to see it? Could also try and send it to you via Dropbox. What are you looking to have? When are you looking to have this presented? These are all legitimate questions.
Yeah.
I don't know this is horseshit yet, but I'm not giving them anything. But I'll entertain this. This isn't costing me anything.
Yeah.
I go, how did you find me?
Yeah.
He goes, Instagram. And if there's one thing I'm known about for, it's my genius on Instagram. right up there with TikTok and discussing how I identify.
What do you do on Instagram?
How do you get on the compound? Make a TikTok video about how you identify. He'll find you.
You pretty much promote shows on, and that's about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I put our clips up there, you know. But there's not a ton of comedy content.
Yeah.
So he goes Instagram. He goes just send a recorded video. He goes, I'll need your full name and email to write you a mobile check for payment. I don't even know what a mobile check is.
Neither is do you, it moves around a lot. I mean, what does that mean?
Stay still, you fucking payment.
You fucking mobile.
That's a red flag right there. A mobile check.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now we're really suspicious now.
Yeah.
I go, I'll draw you up a contract, which I always do.
Right.
I need the day you want this by and your full name, an email address to send you the contract, and of course any celebrities you specifically want jokes about. If this is legit, I am being professional.
Yes.
I go, also the time of day you want it. I go, I can do PayPal or Zelle, which, you know, I railed against, but now I use,
okay,
for payment. He goes, I use a business account, so it doesn't support third-party apps. Wait a minute. So you want a check for your wife, but you're doing from a business account? That does, most business accounts use PayPal, Venmo, Zelle. All right.
I'm not liking this.
No. Yeah. This stinks. No. I go, all right, well, let's do it. I go, I can also take a money order. I can also take a credit card. I can take bank checks from an American bank. I am giving him all sorts of legitimate ways that if he wants to go forward, we can do this. He's also not told me any information for this. You would think he would want to give me the contract information so he could draw this up since he found Comedian on Instagram.
Right.
He goes, all right, I'll need your full name and email to write you a mobile check for payment. I go, the check will be made from an American bank, correct? What's your email address for the contact? So that was the end of him.
And okay. That, he just dropped it.
He just dropped it. Okay. So this seems like one of those scams where you send them a check for more than the agreed upon amount, and then they ask you to send back the difference, and their check never clears. I did a little research on this.
Right.
But that's what this is, and a bunch of comics got it. I don't know if any have fallen for it, but so this is going on. And I've heard people trying to scam entertainers before, usually for more than 300 of them.
Yeah.
I go,
yeah.
So
they're called bookers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too. So globally, banks lose more than $1 trillion to various types of cybercrime every year, and mobile deposit scams are one of the most widespread ways that online thieves are robbing consumers of their hard-earned funds. Mobile deposit scams are fake check scams involve fraudsters depositing fake checks into victims' bank accounts to gain access to their money. Once these deposits are made, victims are asked to withdraw funds and return them, usually through a third-party money transfer account. When carrying out mobile deposit scams, cyber criminals typically make up intricate stories explaining why they cannot access the money themselves, which often makes their story seem more legitimate. This was the third-party app,
mm-hmm,
which was not that elaborate, but not that good either. As of 2019, 72% of mobile banking scams involved remote deposit captures and fake checks. According to the Federal Trade Commission, Consumer Sentinel Network database, more than 27,000 fake check scams were reported in 2019, with losses reaching around $28 million. Mobile deposit scams often target the elderly, hey now, and young adults, especially people in their 20s. Hey now. Of these scams, 51% claim to be lucrative job or career opportunities. Hey now! 300 is not lucrative, motherfucker!
How dare you!
Yeah. It is if you're a 20-year-old comic starting out.
Well, nobody's thinking I'm a 20-year-old.
Get a gig. Yeah, right. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we're like vets now, so it's like we've seen it and done it, and it's like, really? A mobile check? No, you're a fucking scammer.
Well, I mean, it's possible people did fall for it.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, you never take a quote-unquote mobile check. Never give access to a direct deposit from people you don't know. There's third-party apps like that. You could, like I said, PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, there's all different ways to do it. And if they're not willing to do that, then you got to move on. $300 is pretty easy to move on from. But even if it's more than that, if it's $500, $1,000, if they don't want to draw up a contract and they can't give you details and they want to do a mobile check, what booker pays you in a mobile check? Nobody pays you in a mobile check.
What the hell is that even?
I got a referral for a Santa gig. Last week I was on the phone with a woman, very nice woman, and it's like, you know, this is, you know, well, how much you want? This is, man, oh, that sounds good. I'll send it to my, you know, I'll refer it, sorry, for a company party. I'll send it to my, the person that's running that. And then, you know, we have a con. Yeah, okay, that's fine. And what's your deposit terms, blah, 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 blah. And then payment on, you know, at the end of the, you know, so it's, that's the way it's done. There was no talk of a mobile check or my bank account, you know.
Joe just wanted to tell us that story to let us know there would be Santa Claus stories in December.
Yay! Well,
good. Last year we were dry.
Joey's got to hustle. I got to pay that Vegas trip off. So
I understand.
Right?
I understand. So, yeah. So that's... So that's what's going on. A couple haven't done a Scam Busters in a while.
No,
I have a Scam Busters for us next week.
Ooh,
ready to go.
Goody.
Involves an old friend, and I will leave it there.
Interesting.
I will leave it there. Little tease for the kids.
Ooh, buzz.
She does identify as a bee. Do not call her a wasp, Joe. That's insulting.
Hey. Just because I checked the white box doesn't mean I'm a wasp. Buzz! Buzz!
I understand, but saying a wasp is invoking white privilege. So
well, no.
Oh.
That's true. And it's offensive to call her a yellow jacket. They don't like those terms.
Buzz! Buzz! Buzz.
Fucking swatter. All right, let's do an outstanding.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
That stinger much not stinger that stinger much more quiet than the wedding band. This was really truly an outstanding display of spite, but it only leaves us to have a conversation afterwards. I enjoyed this display of spite. A photographer who deleted all photos in his camera right in front of the groom after he was denied food at the wedding has asked people for their opinion, which is what you would do. I'm not really, unless maybe they need to get a show, then they could ask all you folks. I'm not really a photographer, I'm a dog groomer. Why wouldn't you be? I take lots of photos of dogs all day, but this woman was a bitch. Now, I take lots of photos of dogs all day to put on my Facebook and Instagram. It's, quote, my thing, if that makes sense, he wrote on Reddit. A friend who wanted to save money convinced him to click his wedding pictures. I told him it's not really my forte, but he convinced me by saying he didn't care if they were perfect. He said, it's only his wedding day. There's going to be at least three or four more. Relax.
Yeah, really. This is the draft.
Just working it out. We're going to workshop it for this wedding.
Yeah, we're workshopping it.
The photographer agreed to do the shoot for $250. That's a fucking good rate. I got offered more for a fake gig for 5 to 10 minutes for
$300. Really?
That actually turned out better.
It sure.
Yeah.
It did turn out better. I was eating the whole fucking time I was dealing with him. He started working around 11 a.m. and was due to finish at around 7:30 p.m. That's a long-ass fucking
day.
Around 5 p.m., food is being served, and I was told I cannot stop to eat because I need to be a photographer. In fact, they didn't save me a spot at any table, he wrote. He continued, I'm getting tired and at this point kind of regretting doing this for next to nothing. It's also unbelievably hot. The venue is an old Veterans Legion, and it's like 110 Fahrenheit, and there's no AC. Well, it sounds like a lovely affair. To add to this,
my God.
Can you imagine how... Go ahead.
I tell you, this wedding must have run this guy about maybe $300.
You think it all went to the wedding photographer?
Yeah.
It certainly didn't go to the air conditioning. Oh, my God.
You know what? He might not have been much of a photographer, but spot never looked better.
The bride was sweating like a whore in church. Oh, wait.
There was no church involved. To add to this, there was no facility to get water. Where are they? Is this a wedding in Auschwitz? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, really? What is this, 29 Palms? What the fuck?
It's 29 Palms.
It's out in the middle of the desert.
Oh, okay. He then told the groom that he needed a 20-minute break to get something to eat and drink. However, the groom told him that I need to either be a photographer or leave without pay. The photographer added, with the heat, being hungry, being generally annoyed at the circumstances, I asked if he was sure, and he said yes. So I deleted all the photos I took in front of him and took off saying, I'm not his photographer anymore. Biatch. He didn't say that. I added that. If I was to be paid $250, honestly, at this point, I would have paid $250 just for a glass of cold water and somewhere to sit for 5 minutes. The Post also mentioned that the newlyweds went on their honeymoon and have been off social media while people have been asking them about the wedding photos. The Post has gone viral on social media with netizens supporting the photographer. One user said they wanted mates rates but didn't even save you food. The dogs are much better people than these friends. Another wrote, if you're going to deny someone food and water and even a rest break, you are definitely not a mate and not entitled to those rates. A third user suggested, OP, I don't know who that is, shouldn't have deleted, oh, the photographer, I don't know, shouldn't have deleted the pictures. As satisfying as it is.
Original poster.
Oh, okay, thank you. As satisfying as it is, they should have just left and then went, when her friend asked about them, later should have said she'd sell them the pictures for double or triple the price. Yet another added, I can't wait for the update when everyone finds out there are no pictures. All right, first of all, this is why you get fucking contracts.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you get contracts which stipulate whether you get fed, because it's generally you do get fed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The groom was a douchebag. The groom was a complete asshole. Very, but I don't think this is a nice person.
No.
To begin with. I mean, he's skimping on his wedding.
Wow.
And you know what? What I find interesting is that the bride didn't have a word to say on the photographer. I mean, what did he say? Oh, he's very good. Well, does he have any of his work? Yes, here's a Cocker Spaniel. I mean, I don't know how the hell he pulls this off.
If it's good enough for Lassie, it's good enough for you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, damn, that was a foot rest. I was just going to say, it's okay, honey. He's used to photographing dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Buzz.
No, it was fine. It was a funny joke. It's just a little slow. Timing's everything. So listen, the groom's an asshole.
Yeah.
I get why the photographer did it. He was hangry. He was not in his best headspace.
He needed about 17 Snickers at that point.
Yeah, I really, he shouldn't have deleted it. I like the idea, like, where you could say, you know what? I'm out of here. And you don't want to pay me, don't pay me. So they're not going to have pictures. So now he's got to tell his wife why they don't have pictures.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he would still have the leverage if he had the pictures.
Yes.
He would still have the – I get why he did it. I don't know what this says about this couple, though. They're like, oh, dog pictures, that'll work.
I think these people are a piece of work. But you want to know something? For $250 – I think it's a point. It was like the one when we were in Michigan, where that room manager was an absolute asshole to us, and we were thinking of war. The only reason we didn't walk is because you liked the booker. It gets to a point at a certain thing. It's like, you know, I don't give a fuck what we're doing. I'm not gonna be treated like that. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now I do have a wedding photographer horror story.
Oh.
I don't know if I feel, because usually when I talk about my wedding, the horror stories, it usually involves Joe and his friends.
Oh, Joe, with your friends and our friends. Don't.
No, no.
It's not like I brought my crew to your wedding.
yeah, no.
Our crew, my friend, okay?
It was mutual friends. Yes.
They've been disowned. I know now what you speak.
Oh, that's not true. Not all of them.
All right. So, yeah. So, usually it's the horror that was the roast. Although, as I've said time and again, Joe was very funny on that. Short and sweet, Joe was good.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, the wedding photographer. Do you guys remember our cocktail hour?
No, I don't.
Tomorrow is 19 years, so it's okay if you're friends.
Thank you. Yeah, I really don't recall.
Happy anniversary, 19 years tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mine is on the. I think my 25th is on. Would have been on the 15th.
Yeah, it doesn't count when you stop, Joe.
I know my divorce papers came through on the 30th. So, oh yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I think when the divorce papers came through, which was on the 30th.
That's the new anniversary.
That's
the new anniversary.
That's what you celebrate.
So
now.
Anyway, we had a great cocktail hour.
Mm.
We know this because we had the food as leftovers.
Oh.
We did not get to enjoy our cocktail hour.
No, you never do.
Well, here's why.
No, you don't. No.
Well, no. Well, we were supposed to enjoy part of it.
Oh.
So we're going to take some family photos.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the photos, and then there's the rest of the cocktail hour.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure the photos should take like a half an hour or so. Not a huge, you know, it's not a huge family.
It
wrangle
should
everything.
Be a lot, yeah.
All right. That's the plan. Here is what you need for that plan to work. You need the photographer.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Where was the wedding photographer? He and his assistant were gorging themselves at the cocktail hour.
No!
Yes. Yes. So we're sitting there waiting around for them, and they're fucking stuffing their faces.
Maybe the guy in the story has a point.
Oh, my God.
They're gorging themselves. Now, this is before digital. This guy was not cheap. But so here was the plan. Here's why. I think he'd worked my bar mitzvah, maybe. Maybe, he'd worked something for me and he was fine. But this guy was retiring soon.
Okay.
So we had worked out a deal where we get to keep our prints. They don't usually let you keep the prints. Back in the day when you're an old like me, you know, 19 years married,
yeah,
that was a big fucking deal because usually you have to pay for, like, all the prints you want.
Right.
So we worked out in our deal where we could get the prints, so you could print as many as you want. We haven't printed in 19 years. But I'm sure at the time.
Seemed like a great idea. You mean you got your negatives?
Yes.
Yeah.
You got the which isn't standard.
Yeah, no.
So that was the thing. But yeah, so that was the other side of the wedding photographer. The wedding photographer said, oh, well, that looks good. Let me fucking stuff my face. Nay. Now, we fed everybody. I think it's pretty standard you feed the help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you can't have your wedding photographer working 8 hours straight. When people are eating, the photographer can eat. You go, all right, you know what, you go, eat something, eat for like 20 minutes or so, then go around, take the table photos.
Right.
You give them the time to eat. Now,
and if there are musicians, you feed them on their break. If there's clergy, you feed them, you know.
Everybody gets fed.
Yeah.
But then again, when you're paying $250 and you're in a VFW or American Legion with no air conditioning, maybe you don't get.
I had an instance doing one of my Santa Claus gigs. It was an adult party.
An adult party? When you came down the chimney, were they wearing dildos? Let's go, Santy!
That's kind of an adult party, you numbskull. But it was an adult party,
different kind of ball pit.
It was like for an hour, you know, and she goes, maybe we'll play some Christmas games, and I'm like, oh, boy. So I get there, and I'm mingling, I'm talking with the people, and I went around about three times, and then it's like I'm being evasive. So I go by the kitchen, and I'm trying to figure out what to do. You know, I go around one more time, and then the woman goes, okay, Santa, that was very nice. You can go now. She complains to the booker that you know the booker.
Yeah.
She calls me up. The woman is very unhappy, blah, 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 blah. I go, well, number one, I go, you know, it's an adult party. You're going around and this, that, and the other thing. And then she goes, well, she didn't appreciate you eating the food. And I'm like, I didn't. And she goes, no. And I go, no, you're going to hear. I go, we're not on the phone with her right now. I go, been an entertainer since I was 16. I go, I would never do that. And I go, think about this. I'm just a Santa Claus with white gloves. I'm going to start eating food.
Yeah.
I go, are you out of your fucking mind?
Except he didn't say fucking because he wanted to work for her again.
Yes.
I said, are you out of your mind? Why would I do that?
You know?
And you know, as an entertainer, that if you were to, and if you have not been told, you don't eat the food.
Right. You have to be told.
So, yes.
Although I got to say, I get offered a lot at these private events. I seldom eat at private events. It's just fucking awkward. For me. Other comics do. I saw a comic who gets paid a lot of money for private events, and she was bitching. She did like three in a row, and nobody offered her food. I'm like, you're making enough money. Fucking get a slice of pizza. Stop complaining. Yeah. But whatever.
If you're being paid, well, fine. But it's like, if it's a long thing, like a wedding photographer, our wedding photographer, Chris Marksbury, great guy. He did our, you know, our promo shot.
He made us
show.
Look presentable.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know,
if he's good enough for Alice Cooper, he's good enough for us.
Yes.
We still use it for promos, gig headshots. Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah, and Chris is a childhood friend of Mr. Helix. He was well recommended. He's really respected. Mm-hmm. You know, he does really, I mean, he did great job at our wedding. He didn't cost a humongous amount, although he gets really great gigs as a photographer. But it's like, I wasn't going to say, no, you can't stop and eat. Sit down and, you know, enjoy some time and then walk around and do the candidates.
You know, what is interesting, during dinner, you know, where you can't take a break, people are eating, nothing's going on.
Right.
Know? And if you're taking pictures during dinner, it's kind of intrusive.
Yes.
You know, so what the hell, you know? Take a break, too. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the guy who hired him was a douche.
Totally.
I'm just saying, deleting the photos might have been a bit too much. I get it. I can't come down too hard on the photographer, but that's a douche move, too. Because that's forever. Like, if you don't have a contract, you have fucking a ransom note. That's what you have with those pictures. Because apparently there was no contract. I would just go, all right, you know what? Fine. I'm going to take all the pictures. Fine. But we're going to talk afterwards. Yeah.
Well, the other thing that's completely left out of this conversation is that what if these people are poor? They just had to really cut costs.
I'm not thinking they're wealthy, dear.
No. But I mean, you know, so like everything's at a premium.
Right, but that's no excuse to treat somebody like shit.
No, it is not.
That's no excuse to go to Petco and go, he'll do.
No, but I'm saying that, you know, they got their friend who's a cut price photographer. He's not a professional wedding.
He's not a photographer. He's a dog groomer.
But he said he takes dog pictures. So it's like, okay, so maybe it's his hobby and here's an opportunity to throw him a couple of bucks, and he's somebody who at least knows how to take decent pictures. You know, we'll give it a shot. We don't have money for a professional photographer.
You know what? Okay. Here's my rule of thumb. Then we'll take our last break of the evening. I never choose my photographer when on their business card it says whose tail is that. That's just my rule of thumb. All right, let's take our final break, and we'll do some scamming scammers with Michelle. Yes, my Michelle. Right. On the break, we have new music from Brand J with You'll Never Walk Alone, and Janes with Real Things. And you can learn more about both those artists at Deuce Music.